So,
the House Committee on Education will come to order. So welcome everyone to our committee. It's good to see you here on this Friday afternoon. It's a great way to end the week, which with what I believe will be the best committee in the entire legislature, perhaps in the history of the legislature, because of the people that are seated here at this time. So today, on our agenda, we're going to adopt our committee rules, have a discussion about those. Each of you will have the opportunity to introduce yourselves, talk a little bit about why you're serving on this committee and what you'd like to accomplish this session. And we also are going to have a presentation from our Superintendent of Public Schools, Susan Castillo. But before we move on to anything else on our agenda, let's start with the committee rules, which should be at your place.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the rules.
So Representative Dimbrough has moved to adopt the proposed committee rules dated January 16th of 2009. Is there any discussion? Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one thing. In regards to the rules, I would just like to have some assurance that minorities' amendments will be heard.
Absolutely. One of the rules in regards to minority reports is that the amendments that would go into a proposed minority report would be distributed to the committee. Should anyone on this committee bring amendments to me and ask to be recognized to have them introduced and distributed, I give you my assurance that that will indeed happen.
Thank you.
Is there further discussion about the rules?
If you don't, Arnie will make sure.
I will. I agree with the same thing.
Any further discussion? Any objection? Then the rules are adopted. So in terms of the way that our committee is going to work, my goal would be that we would start every day right at 1 o'clock. The challenge with committees that meet at 1 o'clock as we move later on in the session, as you know, is that floor time sometimes will begin to eat into the time that we have together here, which means it's even more important for us to be efficient in working through our work plan and the agendas that we have before us. So when that happens, if you could do your best to come here immediately from the adjournment of the floor or immediately from your caucus, the goal will be to start at 1 o'clock or immediately after the adjournment of the floor session. And we'll attempt to end by 2:50 each day so that there's time for the next committee to organize and take our places and take our chairs. So I wanted to start with Representative Van Orman and just take a minute to introduce yourself to other members of the committee and those in the room, a little bit about your background in education and why you're serving on this committee and what you hope to accomplish this session.
In 2 minutes, okay.
Yes.
I'm Representative Van Orman of House District 52, which takes in Hood River County, I think the big landmass of Multnomah County, and Clackamas County. My background is I'm a Head Start director of 22 years in the Mid-Columbia region, with 3 counties in Oregon and 2 counties in Washington. I am the daughter of a one-room school teacher. My cousin was my principal, hired me at the age of 14 to be a substitute teacher for a couple of weeks for grades 3 and 4 and 1 and 2. I've actually been a classroom teacher. So I am a strong believer in public education.
Thank you. Representative Harker.
I am Chris Harker from House District 34, which is not Multnomah, but Washington County, right up to the county line. It's Beaverton and unincorporated Washington County. And I am here, happy to be here, because I campaigned based on my passion for public education. And I think many of you know this. I come from a family that we weren't one-room schoolhouse teachers. We were in New Jersey. I don't think there were many of them there, at least not in the part where I grew up. But I came from a family without much formal education before me. And I got perhaps too much formal education, but I went for some of my family members' tastes, but went through PhD level all at public institutions. And I am so thankful to have had that opportunity and believe fervently that we owe that to our children and their children. So that's why I'm here, to hopefully continue that.
Ron Maurer, House District 3, which is most of Josephine County, and I'm here because I was assigned to be here. was on a school board for several years. My parents were both public school teachers. I have a doctorate in adult and continuing education. And I hadn't thought about it, but Oregon State bachelor's, Kansas State for my master's, and Northern Illinois University for my doctorate. At the university level, I was in athletic administration, and my research was focused in that area. But, you know, I've got four kids, and they're in public schools. And public schools are, I mean, in rural Oregon, we don't have options.
That's right.
If public school fails, my kids will fail. And I have confidence, both as a former school board member and a parent, that the schools can work, and we have no options. They have to work. So, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Arnie Roblin from House District 9, which goes from Coos Bay, Oregon, up to Florence on the Oregon coast. I'd heard that Sarah Gelser was going to be the chair, so I decided this would be a committee that I wanted to be on.
Nice.
How many bills are you presenting?
And other than that, my great-grandmother used to be canoed up the Quinault River to Lake Quinault to start teaching as a normal school teacher in Washington. And my father was a vocational teacher in Port Angeles, where I grew up. And I was a teacher, principal, vice principal at Marshfield High School for 32 years. So education has been the focus of my life. My undergraduate degree at University of Washington, my graduate in curriculum instruction was at Oregon. So I get to wear my purple and gold from Coos Bay to my Oregon Duck games, who think it's Washington, which has really always been a fun thing. But it is a passion of mine, and I care deeply about all Oregon students having the best opportunity to be as successful as they possibly can. And we have had opportunities in our state over the years to be very innovative in our way of providing education for all those kids. And so from my perspective, it is looking and recognizing that our individual kids have individual needs, and we have an obligation here to be able to help provide opportunities for every one of those children to be as successful as they possibly can. And I have appreciated Oregon because we have taken that seriously in this state over a lot of years. The SIM and the CAM, we've heard a lot of issues about that, but in that process we did a lot of great things, and I am proud to have had three kids go through the school system and have been very, very successful as they pursued higher education and other things. And I had a lot of students that went through our school who come back and continue to be contributing members to society, and hopefully we each had a little part of that, and that's important to me. And we have one other member. Last time we were on the same committee, this time he's my chair in Ag and Natural Resource, Representative Clem, is a student at the high school. So it's fun to watch all of those kinds of things in this process. And I work with a group called YMCA Youth in Government. We brought students here for the past 25 years. It continues. It'll be happening in February, so if you're around, you'll be able to see a lot of students from out Oregon here learning this process, which is also important. So thanks.
Thank you.
I'm Sherry Springer from House District 17, which is Staten, Sublimity, up the canyon past Detroit and Lebanon and Sweet Home, and I'm in the middle in Sial. And I, too, requested to be on this committee when I heard that Representative Gelser was the chair.
There you go.
Does that help? And I served on a school board for 5 years. A couple of those years I was the chair, and education's my passion, but probably more important than being on a school board, I have an 11-year-old in public schools. And up until February, when I started this endeavor, I was in his classroom actually every week, and that's the reality of what we do, and we need to see that on a consistent basis.
Thank you. Representative Huffman.
John Huffman, District 59, all of Eastern Oregon, Wasco, Sherman, Gillum, Wheeler, Grant, and Jefferson County, a little bit of Northern Deschutes. I've been a proud member of this committee for the last 18 months with Representative Roblin and Representative Comp, and then the last couple of months with Representative Springer. Most of the audience knows me because of that history and the fact that Karina and I together had eight kids. all of them in public schools, and all of them have moved on to be strong, successful adults, and many of them completing their, well, they're never finished, right? Working on their higher education, and so I'm a proud papa.
I'm Representative Comp, and I serve House District 22, Woodburn, Jervis, Brooks, North Salem, and I am an educator in practice, and that is ongoing, whether it's with freshmen or colleagues. I always like to teach, and if they have something that they could teach me, I'm just a lifelong learner, and so education has been a priority of mine. I taught high school level, administrator at high school, finished up with 6 years at middle school, and anybody that can teach middle school day in and day out, they have a special road to heaven. And I love serving on the education committee. I too have a school board background, and four children and grandchildren that are going to be the next workers for the state. My absolute passion is equity, in that all students, it doesn't matter whether they're rural, metropolitan, Portland, black, pink, or purple, or have special needs, or tag students, I just want to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to reach their potential.
I'm Representative Thatcher, and I actually didn't request this committee, but I'm delighted. I have three daughters who have either completed or are attending public institutions of higher learning, and I have, in addition to that, a little 7-year-old who is attending a charter school. And I like to think that I, too, am an educator simply because I'm a mom, but I'm not by profession. But I'm related to many who are both administrators and teachers and substitute teachers and regular teachers and people who have gone through the ranks in special ed and working in specialty areas of education. So I get an earful from both sides in my family. So anyway, very happy to be here.
Thank you.
Great. I'm Michael Dembro, and I represent House District 45. That's Northeast Portland, Park Rose, and Maywood Park. And I am passionate about education, both by inclination and by experience. I also was the product of public education myself. My two children graduated from Portland Public Schools. One is now a nurse practitioner. The other is a neuroscientist, doing very well. I've been a classroom teacher at universities or community colleges for almost 30 years, and I'm really a passionate believer in the mission of the community college. You'll hear a lot about that from me. And again, that's just because of my everyday experience, often dealing with students that had very little belief in themselves because they'd internalized the lack of belief that others had had in them, and yet were able to turn their lives around through education and what we were able to do. I have had the good fortune also of sitting as the Community College Faculty Advisor on the Oregon State Board of Education the last 3 years. Unfortunately, I had to give that up to do this gig, but it was a great experience to see the complexities of the issues that everyone throughout the education continuum is facing, and being on this committee is really going to be a great follow-up to that, especially under the leadership of Chair Gelser.
I see my children have gotten to all of you. When the chocolate starts to appear on my desk, I'll know that my husband has also called. Roxy, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Roxy Quayler. I'm the committee administrator. I grew up in the public school systems in Oregon. I'm a former high school teacher, former attorney, former lobbyist. I'm not sure if that's a progression of occupations and professions, or some people might argue it's a regression, but whatever I've done is a result of a public education system in the state of Oregon, and I appreciate it.
And we have Debbie, who's our committee assistant as well. I'm Sarah Gelser. I have the great privilege of chairing this committee, and from the introductions, you can see that if you're going to have an education committee, this is the way to do it. The members of this committee really do represent the entire education enterprise, from early childhood to higher education, to parents of children that are in education, to teachers and administrators and school board members. So I think that we have a great year ahead of us, and we will really have some difficult things to wrap our heads around. My background, I served on the Corvallis School Board for 5 years, so I've got school board experience there. I have a lot of experience in alternative education. I actually grew up in a homeschooling family. I was the one of four children that wasn't homeschooled. I don't know what that means. But here I am. And I also have four children that are currently in our public school system. And from being their parent, I've had the opportunity to be reminded consistently about how every child is different and every child learns in different ways. And in our household among four, we have TAG kids, special needs kids, and average kids, and all of their needs are extraordinarily important. And I think that what, as a state and as local schools, we need to be sure that we do is wrap our arms around them and make sure that we're giving them the supports and the instruction that they need to reach their potential, very much as Representative Kopp said. In terms of this committee, I'm hopeful. Obviously, this committee deals with K-12 issues. We have some big questions around early childhood. I also think that in this particular legislative session, with the economy in the state that it's in, I'm hoping that in this committee we can have some really good conversations about the contributions that community colleges and the higher education system make to rejuvenating an economy, and the role particularly that community colleges play in workforce development and being really the best, sometimes first chance and sometimes best second chance that families have to improve their income and get their families on their feet and provide the best childhood for their children. If you have ideas of things that you'd like to add to the work plan, please get them to me. My goal is to, as much as possible, try to chunk our work together so that we're dealing with a lot of higher ed and community college things in the same period of time, early childhood in a period of time, assessment, special education, and that way you don't have to keep going back to review the material, which can take a lot more of your time. But today we are fortunate to have with us our Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susan Castillo, to give us an overview of her agenda and the state of schools in Oregon. And thank you so much for coming today and sharing your time with us.
Thank you, Chair Gelser and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Susan Castillo, the Superintendent of Public Instruction for the State of Oregon. Well, just listening to your introductions, I have no doubt that our children are going to be well served by the work of this committee, and it's very, very inspiring to hear you all talk about your commitment to our children and to education in our state. I'm here today to talk about the Oregon Department of Education's work, my legislative priorities, and then also want to hear your thoughts and answer any questions that you have about pre-K through 12 education in the state of Oregon. First of all, I just want to tell you that I have the greatest respect and admiration for the work that you do and the role that you play in our state, and especially right now as our state is facing such very challenging times. I served in the 2002 year of the last recession, when we had five special sessions in our state. I was in the state senate at that time, so I understand that you have some very, very tough work ahead of you right now, and I just want you to know how much I admire your leadership and the fact that you're willing to step up and provide that strong leadership that we need for our children right now. And as you know, right now, as we all face these challenges, we're at a time in our history when education is more important than ever before in terms of helping our country move forward economically. In a knowledge-based economy and with globalization, the skills and the knowledge that is now required, whether you're going straight into the workplace or on to further learning, has just really taken a step up, requires much higher levels of learning for all of our people, and so we need to make sure that we're moving forward in our education system to prepare them for that. I wanted to just do a little mention. We did give you this binder that is filled. Hopefully you'll find very helpful information in here. It talks about our agency, talks about the schools in Oregon, the bills that have been introduced this legislative session by ODE, giving you just a very brief summary of each one of those. And we also provided you a copy of the report from the Quality Education Commission. And I want to just mention one section of that report that I hope you'll get an opportunity to look at. And that is, in this report, there's wonderful information in there about the work that the commission subcommittee did on taking a look at our highest performing schools that are really doing an outstanding job of closing the gap and really raising the achievement levels of all of their students in their schools, and doing some research on what do those schools have in common, what are the traits there that are leading to their success, and how we need to help all schools be able to move forward on the characteristics of those schools and serve as best practices examples in our schools. Well, at the Oregon Department of Education, we have the honor and the privilege of working to ensure the success of all children in our schools. We are the regulators of our education system and take that role very, very seriously. We partner with everyone in that effort, with you in the legislature, with the State Board of Education, which, as you know, is appointed by the governor, with our local school districts and our teachers and school boards and leaders across the state and our business leaders. We do a lot of partnering in our collective efforts to make progress on behalf of our students. The priorities, our focus of our work right now is very much about the implementation of the new Oregon diploma requirements, which do help to move our state forward on raising the performance of our students in our schools. For the first time in the diploma requirements, we are requiring that every student demonstrate high-level knowledge and skill to earn an Oregon diploma. And so we are doing a great deal of work on the implementation at the state level and working throughout the state with our school districts on moving forward on that implementation. Our school board met yesterday and today. Very much the focus of their work remains on how we move forward on a successful implementation, especially with the current challenges in the budget. What can we continue to make progress on, and we need to make progress. We know we still have, while we are making, we're continuing to see our children make some gains, we know that we still have very serious challenges when we take a look at disaggregated data about each of our student populations, and that we have some very serious work still to do on closing the academic achievement gap and ensuring that all children in Oregon get the knowledge and skills they need to be successful in their next steps. So we continue to work and shine the light on the data that we have about our student performance and work together on how we can do our work in new and more effective ways to help children. We know that if we start early, we get a great return for that, and so we continue to make progress in our state on our efforts in early education. The legislature has continued to increase funding for Head Start. We have more children in full-day kindergarten today. We've been increasing access to full-day kindergarten, and in the governor's budget this time, for the first time, our state is also proposing to make some investments on early Head Start. We know when we help children early on and get them ready for first grade, we can really make a difference on what's happening with preventing the achievement gap from starting. And we just get, throughout our system, get huge returns when we help children get a strong start in school. So that continues to be very much a priority. Improving literacy. We have great work happening in our state. We know when children can't read, they can't learn, they can't be successful in school. And we know that we need to continue our efforts and our focus on literacy. We also have been making some changes to try to deliver more efficiency and more accountability, not only at the state level in our department operations, but throughout our education system. We have wonderful partners that have been stepping up and working with our districts on helping us realize how we can make better use of every single dollar that we have in our education system and how we can work together to create more alignment between what happens at the state level and what happens at the district level, and how we can better be aligned in our work so that we create more efficiencies and get better results for our students. And then on accountability, huge part of our work today. Accountability is just a regular function of what we all do in education today, knowing that we must be accountable, and we embrace accountability for the resources that we have and the demands that we have on what we need to deliver for all students. I want to assure you that at the Department of Education, you can be confident that it is filled with hardworking, dedicated, talented, innovative thinking people at the Department of Education ready to serve you and help you in the work that you're going to be doing this session. I'm very, very proud of the work that my staff does day in and day out. Our operations include, of course, implementing the policies that are set by the department, the state board, and, of course, laws that are passed by the legislature. We work very closely with the governor's office, with our legislative delegation. We work on a national level with our national partners on trying to move forward on education policy. We oversee the distribution of the state school fund, our statewide assessment system, and of course we oversee and are the regulators for a long list of our federal programs, which include our special education programs and the funding that comes from the federal government, and the very long list of regulations that came along with No Child Left Behind and the funds that we get for No Child Left Behind implementation. We oversee our special schools, the School for the Deaf and the School for the Blind. We also provide services to our children that are in our youth corrections system. We provide services to our, we oversee the regional programs, our special ed programs, and work in very close partnership with our education service districts on the delivery of those. Of course, we oversee the early intervention, early childhood special education programs. We deliver services to children who are in long-term care and in treatment programs. We also oversee those. Also, we deliver services to our children who are in hospital programs or have extended stay in hospitals, and we make sure that we deliver education services for them as well. In the governor's budget this session, I just wanted to touch on a few things there that we are hopeful remain in the governor's budget to help us as we move forward in our work. He has tried to maintain our essential budget level for the agency, knowing that we are about the same size as we were about 10 years ago in terms of our FTE, and yet the demands and the workload has certainly taken a significant increase. He has supported us in our overall efforts to move forward on the very important policy and state work that needs to happen on the implementation of the Oregon Diploma, giving us some funding there, some investments to add 6 staff to help us support our districts on the implementation of the new diploma requirements. Continuing, of course, to provide funding for our assessment system. Those costs have risen, and the governor has provided some funding there to help us with some of that. And, of course, the increase in our investment in Head Start and early Head Start. For legislative priorities, of course, this session, I think for all of us, our number one priority is the continued investment in our schools. Last legislative session, the legislature was able to make just a really wonderful reinvestment in K through 12 education for the first time in a very long time, and started to really turn a corner there and help us get on a better path for delivering for our students. And we hope, I know you are up against some incredible challenges right now, but I ask that you do everything that you can to continue that reinvestment and to protect our school funding as much as you possibly can this legislative session. I ask that we continue to find ways to explore access to full-day kindergarten. Right now we have close to 14,000 children that are now in full-day kindergarten programs. As we talk to districts that have been implementing that, we know that it has made an enormous difference for children in poverty and children who don't have English as a first language, and makes an enormous difference on how ready they are when they start first grade. Closing the gap, once again, a top priority for us, and we continue to explore the issues of equity in our education system and how we must have the tough conversations around equity to make more progress for our children. Hopefully, we're going to be getting some more funding from the federal government, or some funding from the federal government, to help us with our infrastructure needs. I think we're all hearing about what's happening with those efforts at the federal level, and then I know you're going to be having some conversations this session as well about infrastructure needs in our state and what's happening with seismic risks to build school buildings and other facilities that we have in our state, and I know that's also going to be a part of your conversation. I'm hopeful our state will be able to make some progress there. And then continuing to work with you about the accountability issues and how we work together to deliver accountability for what happens in our schools, what happens in the state agencies in education, and working with you on how we continue to make improvements on that front so that we have a better opportunity to gain a public confidence on what we're doing with every dollar that the public gives us to educate our children in the state of Oregon. So I'll just close and say thank you again for what you do, and I'm very excited about this committee and the work that we can do together, and I just want you to know that I want to help you in any way that I can, and my staff is ready to help you in any way that we can, and I just thank you for your leadership.
Thank you, Superintendent. Are there questions? Yes, Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Chair Gelzer. Not Galizio, right? Superintendent Castillo, thank you so much for coming. And in the interim, Morgan does a fine job of representing your department. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
A month or so ago at the OSBA conference, the governor suggested that it might be necessary to push back the beginnings or the start of the graduation requirements. You made a comment that he had identified some funding, and you had kind of suggested that maybe we're not pausing, but we are continuing to roll out as per schedule. Did I hear that right, or are we kind of are we waiting on budgetary stuff?
Thank you, Chair Gelzer and Representative Huffman. I guess what I would say is that the asks to the governor at the beginning of the budget process, before we headed into these troubled times, was at a much higher level on the implementation for the diploma work. And so I would say that we are very grateful that he was able to help us with some funding for it. I think that, you know, there are just great challenges with identifying how we're going to continue to have targeted investments on the various efforts as we move forward. We know there are things that we can do already, and already lots of work is taking place with the current resource level that we have. So I think for us, our commitment needs to be to continue to have high standards, to be committed to this vision that we have of all children gaining the knowledge and skill they need, and every student being a graduate in the state of Oregon, and what it's going to take to get there. And I think it's going to require us, especially because of the current challenge that we have, to rethink what we're doing with the dollars that we currently have, but then to also explore how we support each other and help each other work in our collective efforts on how we continue to keep the momentum going on implementation. We really can't let anything get in the way of keeping that momentum going, whether it's at the state level work or what's happening in our districts. And so I know we're working with the governor on that. He has that commitment as well, I know. And so we're all just, I think what we're trying to do is just acknowledge that we know we have serious challenges on the resource side of this, but we also know that there is a lot of progress that we can make, still make. And that's where we need to keep our focus on not what we can't do, but what we can still do to keep the momentum moving forward. So the state board is listening hard to the field right now, getting input on what the challenges are, and trying to work with the field and listen and work very closely with, you know, in concert with everybody working together on how we can still make progress. But I think we have to acknowledge that it's very challenging.
Just a little follow-up. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing back from some of my school districts that, you know, because of the work that we had done the last couple of years in preparation for this, they had also already started expending some money and preparing. Have school districts been in touch with you to say, well, wait a minute, it's going to put us in a bind in one way or another if we don't proceed at this point? Or what are you hearing from the school districts?
Oh, we are proceeding. There is. I don't think anyone is using the language of we're not going to do this at all. I think the language we're using is, What can we still do? What should we do first? What can we still do as a priority? What should we prioritize on how we move forward on the implementation and get as much done as we possibly can? Right now the board is looking at perhaps the one of the requirements was applying math and demonstrating a math skill in one of our essential skills, and the requirement would be that today's freshmen would have to meet that requirement for graduation. Now the board is taking a hard look at that and saying, well, given what's happening with the challenges on providing professional development or other challenges presented by the resources, should we delay that requirement for 2 years? And they're not saying not move forward on it. Mm-hmm. They're saying as a requirement for graduation. So the work to still move in that direction, there is an expectation that we're still moving forward. We are going to do this work. We're not stopping. We're saying how do we want to rethink some of the timing of some of the elements of it. But all of this work needs to continue to move forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Dimbrough.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just again to follow up on that subject, of course this is a subject that's really dear to my heart, having been part of the development of these new requirements. First of all, do you have a sense of when the board will make a decision about the timeline in implementing the new standards? And I realize that this is the core problem that we're facing, in order to successfully implement the new standards, it's not enough to just say these are the new standards. We have to provide support structures, professional development, as you mentioned, but also things like after-school tutoring, extra tutoring, or summer school programs, things to make sure that those eighth graders are ready for high school and that there are support structures. So are the districts coming up with ways of doing those things, or is the sense that funding is really going to be an impediment for most districts to be able to do the support work that needs to be done?
Madam Chair and Representative Dimbrough, thank you for that question. Boy, there's a lot to that. The board yesterday, as they were talking about the timing of the implementation, said that perhaps in February, I think they're aiming for February as a time of when they may try to make a final decision about the math skill, the essential skill in math, and the timing of that requirement, and perhaps the timing of the rest of the essential skills. I think right now what they really want to do is continue to monitor, you know, month to month, and as we're all monitoring the revenue picture month to month and trying to really grapple with, you know, what is happening to our state resources and to the resources of our country, I think they want to continue to monitor, hear from the field. How do we move forward together on this? What are the challenges that are appearing? How do we work together on how we meet this challenge? So I think for them it's an ongoing process. And they may make a final decision in February, but I don't think it's going to be a final. I think they're going to continue to monitor and hear from the field. And maybe there will be another adjustment along the way, depending on what happens here. But it's all about the work moving forward, but let's talk about how the implementation happens, not whether or not the implementation happens, is how the conversations are going. We have had schools that have served as shining examples of how they have taken resources and retargeted how they use their resources to better support children. Retargeting resources to provide after-school programs, doubling up children in their math and reading courses who weren't making it to our standards or reaching the levels of their potential, and providing new ways of how they offer supports for our children with the current funding levels. So we have really been working together on shining the light on how people are rethinking how they allocate their resources to better support children in our schools, and how they get more innovative with the use of the time that we have in our school day, and trying to reallocate how time is spent for their teachers and supporting teachers more and giving them more time to work together and collaborate and share information and support one another and have more access to professional development and the tools that they need to help them be more successful with every student. So we will continue to convene and work together and shine the light on the new learning that is taking place today as we are trying to be more innovative and creative with our time and with our resources on how we better meet the needs of children. And so I guess what I would say is we are going to continue to do that, and with this challenge that we have before us, it requires us to do more of that than ever before, and we will. And you know, we will work with you. We want to work with the legislature on getting your input for how we can improve and work together. We are in our country, and certainly in the state of Oregon, we are trying to go somewhere. We have never been in public education. You know, forever, we've had an education system that, for the most part, for most children, we've done a good job. But there have always been children that weren't very successful in our schools, and we have just accepted that. Well, today, we're not accepting that anymore. We are saying no. All children need to get to higher levels of skill and knowledge. And we're setting that as a goal for the first time. And with technology, we have a better way of tracking that and measuring our progress. So we are in a new day, and we have set a new goal, the right goal, in my opinion. And it's going to take a lot of new thinking to go this place we've never been before. Lots of innovation. And so not only do we all need to be working together in new ways and helping to support one another and learn from one another, not only in Oregon, but across this country, we're doing a lot of that. And we know as we come together around that new thinking that better results are going to happen and are happening. And so at the state level for all of us, I think it's really important that we continue to do our part to shine the light on the best practices and convene people around those and really helping to provide more support to our schools so that we can help them make progress.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank you. Representative Van Orman.
Oh, thank you, Chair Gelser. I have about three things, and one is just a report that I received information today that Head Start will be included in this stimulus package at $2.1 billion. So where that goes from there, I don't know, but there is, I think, recognition that Head Start has been poorly funded these past few years and has been pretty much on the ropes. One of the questions I have is regarding about testing.
Mm-hmm.
They started testing 4-year-olds in Head Start probably 4 or 5 years ago, and Congress fortunately eliminated the testing and saved Head Start a considerable amount of money, $10 million a year for testing four-year-olds. One of the questions I have is, I understand why we think that testing will give us a snapshot of how kids are performing, but the reality is based on what you've just been saying, is that if we are in a situation where we're having funding difficulties, in push comes to shove, is it possible that testing is not as expensive and as frequently monitored and recorded and reported back and forth so that we can move forward on the diploma that we're talking about?
Chair Gelser and Representative Van Norman, first of all, on the Head Start, I'm very excited about what the help that we're going to get from the federal government. Our President-elect Obama, as you know, campaigned saying he wanted to increase funding there, and we are starting to see results from that, and it's very, very exciting. On the testing, I think as we go through the reauthorization of No Child Left Behind, certainly that's going to be one of the major issues that will be looked at. How has that helped children make, move us forward on student achievement? I think taking a look at what we do with testing, could we change how we or tweak what we're doing now to help our schools get the information that they need to help them? I think everybody agrees that we need a system of measuring and constantly monitoring how we're doing with student performance is very, very important. Whether or not we have the perfect system for how you do that, I think that's a great conversation for us to have. Are there some changes we could make? Are there ways that we can improve? How can we provide our districts with better information or more helpful information to help them with the decisions they make to help children be successful? I think that's a very important conversation for our state to have on an ongoing basis. And so I welcome those conversations, and I think it's a very important question. And I know that it's going to be a question that will happen at the national level under the mandate of No Child Left Behind. But I think, and it is something that we are continually talking with our districts about.
We do.
We talk with our districts a lot about what we do with assessment and things that we could do to improve and help them with the information that they need. So it's a very, very significant part of what we do in public education today. Data is a huge part of what we do now in data collection, and we need to continue to look at how we improve what we do and how what we're doing with the information that we collect. How are we using that in the best possible way to help children?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions? Oh, Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Chair Gelser. Along the lines of testing, how are we doing about regarding the implementation of the 10th grade testing that we recently passed out? Are schools getting that underway, and has some of the testing taken place yet, or are they doing it earlier in the year or later in the year? What are you finding out?
Yes, Madam Chair and Representative Huffman, we in Oregon, do online testing in Oregon. We're the only state that does just about all of our assessments online, and it's an adaptive test. And we provide our districts a very wide open window of when they do the testing in our state. So are you talking about our OAKS testing, or are you talking about ACT and I just realized that. We are moving forward on it, and yes, we are implementing the legislation that was passed, and as far as I know, that's moving along pretty smoothly. So I think that's been working out for our districts, and we're moving forward, and we're going to have some great data as a result of that.
Representative Parker.
Thanks so much for everything you've brought here. There's more than I've been able to process in the amount of I will give it some attention afterwards. I have been having a conversation with a constituent in the Beaverton School District about all-day kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy to see that it is one of your priorities here, which is not a surprise, but still happy to see it. This is a young mother who has just had the first of her three children enter kindergarten and is shocked by how short the day is, and she knew it was coming, but the reality of dealing with the scheduling and all of that is just quite a disappointment to her. And it's taken me back to the day when my kids were that age, and going from full-day Montessori school into half-day kindergarten was quite a shock to the family. Since we're going to have to prioritize, out of these high-priority items here, can you give me a feel for where this ranks in your mind, if you can? Because I want to get back to her again today when I
yes.
get home, and so it's a very timely conversation.
Well, from my first year of getting in taking this office, the early education component of our work has been a high priority for me, and that's making progress on full-day kindergarten and Head Start. I think that early education is absolutely essential. But I would also say that if we are successful in implementing the new diploma requirements, we will get at that component. The umbrella of the diploma work is systemic. I know we talk about it, so we think about it being just high school, but it really is about moving the whole system forward, starting from pre-K through high school. So the implementation of the diploma really gets at all of these components that we need to continue to make progress on, and it's raising the level of achievement for all children starting early on so they can be on track for that higher level of achievement they need to attain to earn the diploma. So it starts there. So I would say as we really need to keep the diploma as a high top priority in our state and do whatever we can to provide funding for it and support for it, and it will help us throughout the entire system on making the progress that we need to make.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Representative
Maurer. Thanks, Madam Chair. This has to do with the revenue forecast. Up until yesterday, I thought the next revenue forecast was going to be delivered February 13th. I think that was the scheduled date. Mm-hmm. And last night, I understand it got pushed back. Now, sitting on a school board, one of the most frustrating things that we dealt with was the revenue forecast, or actually, as a school board member, you kind of sit there, but the business manager is trying to, put the budget together.
Yes.
We just watched him do it.
Yeah.
Was not having forecasts early enough, and it concerns me greatly that this is sending a signal where we know that this path is not on, or a glide path we don't want, but we expect. And I was wondering if you have a reaction to pushing back that date and how that's going to impact the school districts and their ability to begin that process. Now, I know we have another forecast in May, mm-hmm. and it's likely to go down more, but it helps in that processing to develop or try to figure out maybe where you are, literally in a glide path down. So are you going to talk to the governor, going to talk to whoever, and say that we really need to not move this back, push it back to the original day?
Madam Chair and Representative Maurer, I guess what I would say is that I think that our state, if I have not spoken directly with the governor, but if the effort by the leadership, your leadership and the governor's folks is that we want to be sure that when we issue whatever the information is, that we try to be as accurate as we possibly can. And right now, that things are fluctuating from day to day in our economy. I mean, think about what you hear on the national level, about what's happening at the national level with our economy. And I know that right now, things are very much in flux from day to day about what's happening with our resources. So I guess if it's being delayed because we want to make sure that we have good, accurate numbers to give people, rather than giving people a number and then a few weeks later having to say, uh-oh, sorry, you need to change your budget again. You know, so I think that right now it is a time for everybody in leadership positions to be so careful about the information that we release and that we're trying to, you know, just be as responsible and conservative as we possibly can about the information that we're giving people, because this is impacting people's lives on the information that we issue from the state on what's happening with our state budget. And so being prudent and conservative about what we do right now, my advice to all school districts in our state is be very conservative with every dollar you have, because we don't know how this is going to play out. And we need to make sure that, you know, we're doing, that we're just trying to be very, very careful with our budgets right now and just plan for, try to plan for the uncertainty. But I do appreciate the point that you're trying to make, as a school board member, former school board member, that for our schools in our state, it is so hard because from year to year, for so long, it has been a guessing game about how much the budget is going to be for our school districts. And so here our districts are trying to plan and make hiring decisions and program decisions or invest in programs that are going to help our children. And then, you know, along comes a recession, and in the middle of a school year, you have to change those decisions. And now you're trying to plan for the next budget cycle. And the recession doesn't care what your budget cycle is. It just happens to come along. And so it creates just very, very difficult budget timing issues for all of our districts. And so I don't know that I've answered your question, but I think what I would say is that I think this is just, you know, we're in a place we haven't been before on a national level, and so of course that impacts our state budget. And I just appreciate that, you know, in your leadership roles, that I know everybody's trying to be very, just very careful and conservative about how we move forward on information that we release or decisions that are made.
And I would just briefly note on that point, our revenue forecast, the March revenue forecast, originally we were hoping to get it on February 13th. It's my understanding now that we'll get that on February 20th. But this morning, we did have Tom Petowski come to the House Revenue Committee jointly with the Senate Revenue Committee to give a preview of where he believes that that forecast is going. And part of the discussion of why he came to give that preview was exactly so that local governments and others can be planning and be careful. And clearly the news was not encouraging news, but I will be sharing that information with my local school district. I think your point is an excellent one. I was on a school board in 01, 02, mm-hmm. In the year that we cut school days, and the number of school days we needed to cut was proportionate to how late in the year we became aware of the reductions that we needed to make. So I think that all of us have a responsibility to be communicating frequently and accurately with our local school districts and our local governments who are having to work in this environment so that they can keep things whole to the degree that they can, rather than be forced in a very short period of time to make very severe reductions.
Yeah, and the pain is, you know, unfortunately, the trickle down is in that having to give the pink slip to the teacher who you just hired last year, thought you were going to be able to keep, and it doesn't, and you can't.
Yeah, right.
And the earlier they know, the better it is. Not that we hope we get there, but you know, the way the line is, it's really not very pretty.
Yeah.
Thank you, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm excited to see this piece on here and your priorities about accountability for results. And I've seen research many times that asks the question, "How do you feel about your child's school?" And the numbers are usually very good. I think my child's school is very good. Then you ask them how education in Oregon is doing, and they say very poorly. But everybody's school is doing well. And in that, what I see is people struggle, and as a board member, I struggled to really understand what the data and the information and the results tell us. When it's our school, we're more connected. So when I see this piece, the question that jumped out at me is, what does that look like to you? So that, and I know that it talks here about results being more readily available to educators and policymakers and the public. And that's the key piece, is that the public can understand them. It took me a good year when I joined this world of alphabet soup to get down all the acronyms, to understand everything that was going on. And it's the onus is on us to help our public understand that. So what is some of your vision for that and some of your ideas and plans?
Thank you for the question, Madam Chair and Representative Springer. Well, we've been working with our partners on how we can do a better job of releasing the information that we do about our schools. We know we need to improve there so that people do understand the data better that is being released. So we've been working in partnership with COSA, our administrators organization, on how we can improve the data that appears about our schools. We've been working with them on just our processes for how we go about collecting data from districts and the requirements that we have for data from districts and how we can streamline and do that work better and release some of the workload that we have on districts about how we go about doing that work. But you're right, we need to continue to work on how we improve the information that we give to the public about the performance of our schools. I know from district to district, some districts have taken the state data and then created their own report cards, mm-hmm. you know, to give out to their constituents that takes the information and, rearranges it or slices and dices it in a way that they feel that is provides greater clarity or perhaps shines the light on various parts of the data to help their constituents understand mm-hmm. what's going on with student performance in their districts. And so, we will continue to work on that and move forward on that. I think, too, the working together with the legislature on your process for how we create the metrics for measuring our performance as state agencies, we did a lot of work around that with you the last legislative session, and I know we're going to be back talking about that this legislative session, but we pay very close attention to those metrics in how we make decisions about the budget for the agency, in how we look at our priorities on the policy side. How do they fit in with those measurements that you want us to pay very close attention to on measuring how we're doing as a state agency and how we're doing in our system of education? But finding those most powerful levers of how we measure our success in Oregon, and what is it that if we really pay close attention to tells us the most about how we're doing on our performance for our children or as a state agency on delivering service to our districts and to the general public for education. So we very much are continuing to work in partnership with the school districts and with the legislature on how we create measurements to see how we're doing on our progress.
Thank you. Representative Comp. Thank you, Chair Gelser. Superintendent Castillo, thank you for all your work. It's incredible. Real quick question. I do like to think in the haves and the have-nots. You mentioned that there's 14,000 all-day kindergartners right now. Do you know what the balance of the ones that aren't in all-day kinder?
Mm-hmm. Let me see. I don't have that number, but I can get that number for you. I can't think of that number right now. But
Morgan's coming with it.
It's about 25,000, Morgan Allen tells me.
Thank you.
Morgan Allen is our legislative director, and so I hope you have already met him or soon will.
That's all. Okay, Representative Dimbrough.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have two questions. One of us gets us thinking happy thoughts and the other unhappy thoughts, but both are going to involve some tough decisions. You know, first, you mentioned the stimulus money that will come to do necessary things on school infrastructure. How will the decision be made as to creating a priority list for which projects will be funded and which districts are really going to be happy?
Yeah.
And the other question is, we've talked about the gloomy revenue picture that was presented to us today, and a lot of the gloom is looking at the next biennium, but unfortunately a lot of the gloom is just finishing out this year. And, you know, we're talking, and your priorities are addressing the next budget cycle. But what are schools doing? Are you serving as a clearinghouse at all for how districts are planning to address the extreme challenges of just making it through this year?
Madam Chair and Representative Dembro, on the first question, the stimulus money that is hopefully headed our way, you raise a very good question, because we don't really have a central place where all districts have been submitting all of their, you know, projects that are on their list that they really need to have happen in their districts. So right now, I do know that the Oregon School Boards Association is attempting to gather that information from their school districts and trying to gather as much as they can from districts about work that needs to happen there. We have, you know, I know that all of our education partners, we've all been talking, but the governor's office is providing leadership on trying to bring people together to have the conversation about how we would move forward with the new money that we would get from the federal government to help us with facility needs. So I would say that right now we're all working together on how we create a good process for that. And I don't know that, you know, and so I don't have a whole lot of information to share with you on that, but I do know that the list of needs is very long, and it stretches all across this state. And but I also know that the stimulus money is meant to really have an impact very quickly on our state's economies, and that it's money that they want to see invested very, you know, very quickly, or as soon as we possibly can when it comes our way. So I think that it's going to be really important that we have a good process for how we move forward with those dollars. And so we're all going to be working together on how we figure that one out. And I know we're going to be needing to involve the legislature on that too. So.
Do you have another question, Representative?
Oh, and yes. You did have another part to that. I'm sorry. It was about what districts are doing right now with the revenue shortfall. Well, we do know that some districts are already looking at cutting school days for this year. Some are looking at cutting some programs. Some, you know, maybe looking at layoffs of teachers. So we know that already it is having an impact this school year. And I know that our districts, you know, are going to do everything they can to protect the classroom and to protect programs, especially for children who need extra help and support. But they are facing a real squeeze because, as I said, the budget that we have right now, the decisions about this budget were made last year. And so the cycle of how the decisions are made for this school year's budget and the timing of how this recession hit, which was so fast and so deep that, you know, it caught national experts by surprise, that it's put our districts in a very, very tough place to plan for cuts during the last part of this biennium. So they're faced with difficult decisions, and we are asking for districts to share the information. I know COSA is also very busy gathering that information so that they have a good idea of what the impacts are. And so we're hoping to give you, you know, really good detailed information about that.
Any further questions? Thank you so much for sharing your time.
Thank you.
With us today. I know we'll be talking to you again in the months to come.
Thank you.
So next week, when we come back, we will not be meeting on Monday. It's an in-district day. On Wednesday, we are going to have an overview of the Oregon University system, so you can be thinking ahead about questions you have about that. On Friday, we'll be having a public hearing about the Oregon 529 College Savings Plan. Wow. We will have former Treasurer Randall Edwards will be here, Michael Parker from the 529 Board will be here, and we will also have some representatives from the Oppenheimer Fund. Mm. If you have data that you want,
at that meeting, it would be most helpful if you could get some of those information requests to me ahead of time so that our panelists have the opportunity to do the research and get good information to have available to you at that time. As well, if you have suggestions of people that you'd like added to the panel, we do not have enough time, unfortunately, in an hour and 50 minutes to do open public testimony, but if you do have recommendations about panelists, I hope that you will let me know very, very, very soon, like this afternoon.
I know that there is an investigation of essentially Oppenheimer at this point. That's not going to be ready by next week, is it?
No, that is not going to be ready at that point.
Okay.
That will not be ready at that point.
Okay.
Representative Van Orman?
Well, in following up on what Representative Maurer said, that if there is a report that comes out, to which committee does that go?
That will be available to everyone. The Attorney General's office is currently conducting an investigation.
Okay.
I believe that after this hearing, much of the financial oversight work will probably be worked by the Revenue Committee.
Okay.
later in the session. We have invited Representative Barnhart to sit in with us on Friday to help make that transition. So we'll also be talking about, during our 529 discussion, what families can be doing to make sure that their kids are still able to get to school. And that's the frame of the discussion, is college affordability for students and what impact this has had on Oregon families and Oregon students.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, Representative Thatcher.
Hey, you know, this is a question that probably would have been better suited for Superintendent Castillo, but maybe you know. Is there a paperless version of... You know, many of our offices are attempting to go paperless. I think that's probably a very lofty goal, but maybe you could find out if that could be available
to
us.
Yes, we can find that out. We can find that out.
Thank you. Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Jimbrough.
Representative Thatcher. Yes, I believe there's a website devoted to the Oregon diploma, and I think all of this, or virtually all of this, is in there.
And I think that is still a work in progress, figuring out how committee materials function with the paperless process. Obviously, people will come and testify before our committee and have materials, and it would be impossible for our committee staff to scan them and send them ahead of time. But what my hope is that if there are materials that are ready ahead of time, we can send them electronically. But there's a blend here of people who are doing paperless and not paperless. There will be things at your dais. If you don't want them, please don't feel that you have to take them.
I'm just saying, but it would be difficult for her staff to have to scan all of this.
So we will look. And for folks who are coming to the committee as well, a request would be, if you have something available electronically, it would be very helpful to get that in electronic form.
Yep.
So any further business for the good of the order? Thank you. The House Committee on Education is adjourned.